Okay. Okay. We ready? Good morning. Welcome to the Thursday, June 17th meeting of the Community Promotions Committee. Just a reminder for everyone, at 9:30 we will be having a joint meeting with the Business Improvement District Advisory Board. So they will be joining us at 9:30. We'll adjourn and then reconvene at that time. We have everybody in attendance, and we have two people this morning to speak at our public comment. So, beauty before Jenny.
Thank you. Good morning. My name is Jenny Brantley, and I'm here to make sure you're aware of the newly issued Dog-Friendly Morro Bay Business Network brochure. This was promised to you last year. It has finally been published. I've identified about 50, 60 businesses in Morro Bay that are dog-friendly in one way or another, meaning you can bring your dog inside the business possibly. Maybe they have a dog bowl with water outside of the business and a place to tie your dog up while you shop inside. Maybe they have dog biscuits for you. So they're dog-friendly in some way, and one by one I'm going to these businesses and making sure that they have a sticker to put on their front window that identifies them as being dog-friendly, and the sticker says, "This business likes dogs. Please inquire within how your dog is welcome here," so that it's up to the business owner to inform the consumer about how their dog is being welcomed. And this is part of my mission to create Morro Bay as one of the top five dog destination cities, as stated in Westways magazine. They do an annual survey, an annual publication of the top five dog-friendly towns in Southern California, and it's huge publicity, and it's free publicity, so that's what I'm starting to do. On the back of the brochure is a photo of me with the winner of the Best of Bay Pooch pageant, so that's another component of friendly here in Morro Bay. Any questions? No? Thank you.
Thank you, Jenny. Thank you very much. Steve.
Thank you. I'm Steve Nukes, Morro Bay resident, and it was suggested and asked that I come before you today to have sort of a modest proposal for potentially improving tourism in Morro Bay. Some of you might know I had an economic and marketing consulting firm, and a while back I was asked by the city to do an economic study of tourism in Morro Bay and why Pismo Beach was doing well, and Morro Bay just didn't seem to be cutting it. There were several reasons that came out of that study as to why that was taking place. Let me just ask you, if you were to describe Morro Bay in just a couple of words, what would you say about the city? Any of you? You're the promotions committee.
Well, for me, it's the greatest place to live in the state of California in the United States. And a great place to come and visit. I send stuff out to all my friends and invite them all the time.
Okay, that's excellent.
I would call it quaint and comfortable.
Quaint and comfortable.
Yeah. Great place to relax and retire.
Relax and retire. Any others?
I would say Paradise Stateside.
What is that?
Paradise Stateside.
Paradise Stateside. Okay. What is that?
Historic fishing.
You notice out of all of the comments that were in here, not one of them mentioned the ocean, the seaside, one fishing comment, but nothing else about this, about that. Pismo Beach is in a unique position. You think of Highway 101 as a oceanfront highway. Well, once you make that turn into Gaviota, there is one four-mile section where the ocean is visible. Pismo Beach has got it. 1 4-mile section. What we found in terms of Morro Bay is that you could characterize it as Barstow West, if you haven't been here before. And now, why do I say that? If you can imagine coming up Highway 1 toward Morro Bay, what do you see after you leave Cuesta College of Morro Bay? Well, as you get up there, you see three little smokestacks sort of behind a hill. Still no ocean. Absolutely none. As you continue on and you go up the hill and you crest over the hill, there's one 30-second view line, if you're going 55 miles an hour, where if it's not a overcast day, you might see a little strip of ocean. But as you go over that hill and come underneath it, you go under the power lines, you see very little ocean access. You sort of see the rock in the corner, and the next thing you know, you're at Yerba Buena, up and over the crest, and now you're on your way to Cayucas in Cambria. Basically, we don't have anything that draws people into the city or gives them a clue that we are ocean-oriented. A proposal before the Planning Commission a while back that I would like to reiterate. There are two things that I'd like to say. We have a sign between Cuesta College and Morro Bay. It used to be a gorgeous sign. It was blue, showed a picture of the moorings for the yachts. It had elegant writing, and it invited you into Morro Bay. It gave a clue as to what was on the other side of that hill. If you go over by the rock and you look toward Morro Bay, it is absolutely gorgeous. It's a seaside village. By the way, the title of our report to the city was called Morro Bay, the Hidden Seaside Village. And we truly are hidden if you don't know what's here. The proposal that I'd like to suggest is that we get that old sign back versus the one that we have there now, and that we implement a scenic loop drive. That scenic loop drive would invite people to get off at South Bay Boulevard, go in through the State Park, drive State Park Road up to Main Street, continue on Main Street. It is scenic. It is gorgeous. It is a seaside village. As you drive along Main Street between the State Park and Morro Bay Boulevard, it is absolutely gorgeous. You see, looking to the left, this quaint seaside town. You can see the moorings. It really gives you an excellent, excellent view of what's taking place. Also, it funnels you into downtown Morro Bay when you come out of it. It's easy access back onto the freeway. You just continue along Main Street, and you're back again. There were some suggestions of having people get off on Morro Bay Boulevard. You still lose a lot of the ambience when you go along that way. You see the three filling stations, and that's basically your view. Cute roundabout, but you see filling stations. You still have no ocean access. But if you do have this scenic loop, it is just an absolutely gorgeous drive. It would be inexpensive and easy to implement. We already have a sign near South Bay Boulevard. All we have to do is add on to the bottom of thousands of dollars. It doesn't take a large amount of promotion expense, just a couple of signs, and suddenly we have a gorgeous drive and taking advantage of what we already have here.
Is there a way to get that road paved? That road is an awful, awful road.
You know,
I like your idea. I think your idea is great. I think your idea is great. I love that idea.
You're not supposed to be going 70 miles an hour down it. If you're doing 25 miles an hour, it's somewhat bumpy, but it's beautiful. You drive along the estuary. You go along through the park. You get an opportunity to see the Natural History Museum and to pull off. And then as you go north past the History Museum, the estuary is right there. You have this gorgeous view through the eucalyptus trees out through, seeing the rock. It is just absolutely beautiful, whether it's high or low tide. So if you don't go real fast, the road is not quite as bad as it might otherwise be.
I'm going to gently remind you at this time that public comment is for public comment, and if you do want to discuss, we need to agendize it for a future meeting. And so I'm reminding you gently.
Okay.
I'll be happy to come back.
We can't ask questions.
If it sounds like something you'd like with a more formal presentation.
You can ask questions. My concern is the dialogue going on between.
Okay.
So
right.
Could I ask one question? The Caltrans issue. As I understand, there's lots of problems with getting Caltrans to move forward on anything. So we can put signage out on Highway 1?
There is currently a Morro Bay sign about 100 feet from the off-ramp at South Bay Boulevard. It says, Visit Morro Bay. It's a nice blue sign.
Mm-hmm.
If you put something underneath it, you got to see the scenic drive.
So that's not a Caltrans sign,
it's
the blue one?
It's not a Caltrans sign, and it's out there. I believe it's on private property. But if not, Caltrans hasn't said anything. So
you're talking about our billboard. That's the billboard he's talking
about. At 7 o'clock in the evening, or after the sun goes down, 7 o'clock in the wintertime, and to put a little sign on the bottom of it, I don't think that would be a real major issue. It's there, and it's been there.
Are you talking about the billboard?
Well, there's two. There's a billboard By San Bernardo Creek Road, which I would recommend that we put the old Morro Bay, inviting to Morro Bay on that billboard. And then there's another small sign about 150 feet from South Bay Boulevard that says Visit Morro Bay. It's a blue sign.
When was this report done?
It was done several years ago.
Oh, I see. Would we be able to see a copy of that, Andrea?
It's buried in there somewhere, I'm sure, Andrew.
I'm not aware of the report, so we can certainly take a look. If you have another copy, it would be great to bring it by.
I really don't know if I do or not. I can.
Yeah, we can see if we have it.
Any other questions for Steve? Thank you, Steve, very much. We appreciate that. Okay. Anyone have some announcements? I know we have one.
I do.
Okay.
I just wanted to remind everyone that the Beach House Bistro is doing its third annual drive-through barbecue to raise money for the Susan G. Komen Foundation to fight breast cancer. The menu is going to be traditional Santa Maria barbecue, tri-tip, some chicken or combination, beans, salad, garlic bread, brownies, soda. It's $13. It is 4th of July. It's from 12 to 4 p.m., and I hope we'll see you there.
Any other announcements?
I'd like to make a comment. If you didn't get to the triathlon 2 weeks ago, it was probably one of the best-run organizations and best-run events I've ever seen. It started on time. They had a tremendous number of lifeguards out in the bay. It was just a good event. They had, as I counted, 180-some-odd swimmers and five kayakers. It was just a good event and possibly something that has a great potential to grow if that San Luis Obispo Triathlon group wants to have something, you know, to make it grow.
Thank you, Bill. Anybody else?
I've got
Susan?
One. The Salinan Tribe is doing its summer solstice ceremony at Morro Rock on Monday. Mm-hmm. Usually they climb the rock at around dusk, but they start gathering around 4 or 5 in the afternoon, build a fire in the parking lot area, and then another one up on top of the rock.
Thank you. That's it. Has everyone had a chance to look at the minutes of the last meeting? If you have, I would make a motion to approve the minutes for the May 20th meeting.
I'll second.
I need a motion first.
I made the motion.
No, I need a
motion. I would like to make the motion to approve the minutes as printed.
Thank you, Bill. Okay, second by Tracy. Any other discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Thank you very much. Monthly reports. Visitor Center report. Mr. Candela.
Good morning, everyone. I know that we're going to be short of time, so I'm going to go through this fairly quickly. In your packets, there's two reports, as usual. I think we're on the edge of something that is going to be experienced here in the next couple of months. It does take that lag of advertisement to get into this type of increase for request for information to the actual beds on heads. So with any luck, we will see an increase on every area here coming very, very soon. And then the 800 number and its sources that they came from. The referrals, you can see an increase from last year. Business referrals, and there's different categories about that, 2,340 referrals. And if there's no questions there, then we can go on to the second page, which is the 800 numbers and broken down where they have come from. And you can see there's four areas that the actually calls are generated from, and that's northern, southern, central, and coastal, with a total of 72, and last year at this time was 96. One interesting thing, though, is when you go down to the second out-of-state, Oregon, with nine, that's an increase. Typically, we don't receive a lot of requests from Oregon. I'm rather surprised, actually, that we get more requests from the East Coast and the folks that are actually going that would have gone to, say, the Gulf area, and now they're looking for other areas to go on their vacations. And this is we've seen an increase in the visitor center with people from the East Coast. that you would, you know, first-time comers were going to the coast, the Gulf Coast, and then decided to, you know, come all the way across. So it might be an interesting area to look into for, you know, for some advertising, especially now. Any questions about any of this stuff? And I'll just kind of finish everything up with some things that are happening. First of all, starting Monday, June 21st, our new hours will be for the visitor center will be the summer hours, which is 9:30 to 6. We're extending it. We noticed there's some more people coming in after 5 o'clock, which we've been staying open late anyway. And this is the summer hours that we keep. And then Sunday it'll be 10 to 4 and Sunday 10 to 2. That starts Monday. Two farmers markets in Morro Bay. One is today at 3 to 5 at Spencer's. The second one is on Main Street, Harbor, Main Street, Morro Bay Boulevard. That is 3 to 6. This is the Saturday. We have a mixer tonight at Dr. Schwann's office, and that's at 665 Main Street. If you can come, please do, and get a little information about what she does. 5:30 to 7. Should be a lot of fun there. July 4th, things coming up, obviously, July 4th. A lot of activities going on there. And we have Art in the Park as well. And going a little bit into July, we have Rock to Pier Run or Walk on July 17th. That concludes what I have.
Any questions for Peter? Thank you, Peter, very much. John, our budget report.
I think what I'll do is I'll reserve the budget report for when we have the budget on the agenda. But I can just say that the previous budget that ends at the end of this month is on target. We're in balance, and I'll probably cover the rest of the budget when we have that on the agenda.
Okay.
I can go ahead and get started on the
agency report.
Yeah. Website. Rick Turton is going to be here at 9 o'clock. So if you have any other questions, you know, he's going to come for the joint meeting as well. Who's my person that assists me on the website? But I emailed everybody the web stats. I assume you all got those. Basically, one thing that's very encouraging is you look at referring sites. The San Jose Mercury News.com is our top site. We just started a campaign on that. And then if you look down, you'll see other areas where, like the events, mercurynews.com, santacruzsentinel.com, those are all part of that package of online advertising that we did that's just been going on for the last few weeks. The other report, basically you're starting to see that the climb in responses as we get closer toward the summer, so we're seeing an increase in visitors. And we had 18,807 visits, and absolute unique visits of 15,851, and 74,549 page views. And as you look down, you'll see the bounce rate's about 40%, which is a pretty good average. We could probably be a little lower on that. Number one source is Google, which is understandable. But fourth down the list is Mercury News. So that was really encouraging that we were able to see that. We are doing some co-op with them, but theirs is a little restricted in the sense that it's for Bakersfield and Fresno. And what this would be is expanding more in some of the things that we're doing now, but doing it as a full group. And would be like Sunset Magazine, LATimes.com, some of the things that we've done. So to sort of help supplement our campaign, but also help to promote the entire county experience. And I'm going to be presenting this next week to the County Unincorporated Group. We would also be working with the County VCB and having them be a part of this as well if they wish. But we're going to be presenting this with Mental Marketing, who also handles Paso Robles. So we're kind of to join forces together to kind of bring that. And right now it's in concept only. When we get a little closer, and if that's something that the County Unincorporated Group embraces, then I'll come back and show you what our ideas are to how we could co-op.
How do you envision Morro Bay being a part of that add?
Well, what we would be doing is looking at something, and we did this a few years ago, if you recall. We went in Sky West magazine with a spread, and each participating partner got their logo, about 4 or 5 lines of copy, and their website. And then the whole ad basically talked about the county experience and showed a map. And that's kind of how we would envision it. So, for instance, with Sky West, that ad might cost $10,000, but each partner would be, you know, at a cost of a couple thousand. So it would help leverage us. And in addition to that, what we're hoping to do is go after the types of media that gives us advertorial as well, like which Sky West did. So when we ran that spread, they also gave us 4 pages of advertorial. So each participating city then was able to tell a little bit more of their story. A couple of different marketing studies that we've seen, one done for the county, which will be just, I think, detailed more next week, but also Pismo recently had this looked at as well. And there was a lot of recommendations as far as this void of not really promoting the entire county together and how important that was. Certainly for everybody to do their own branding, but also brand the whole county experience. And I, Pismo, I had a meeting with them yesterday, and they like the idea. Again, it's really concept only right now. Talked preliminary with the county unincorporated group, and they seem receptive enough to where they put it on their agenda to consider. It wouldn't be a huge part of our budget, and this would certainly come out of the BID budget too if they were in agreement. But you know, we're talking maybe $20,000, something like that, total from each partner. But that would then leverage in $120,000 campaign, because the county unincorporated area would probably take a little bigger portion of that, since they have all those other destinations to promote, such as I mentioned, Cayucas, Cambria. And I think there's really some advantage to doing that, but particularly for Morro Bay, because really I think they realize, even though Morro Bay is not part of their BID, how can you advertise, come to Avila, skip Morro Bay, go on to Cayucas, you know, and then go on to Cambria? It doesn't really make sense. So I think there's some real opportunities for us to work with them. Their budget is significant. I mean, they have about $1.3 million budget, so I think riding on their coattails would be a good thing. We did that with the Sunset Saver program. As you all recall, we're going to be sharing inside of their booth display, and we were able to get a lot of things value added as a result of that. So I think it'll be a good partnership and something that we could look forward to next year.
Yeah, I'd be interested to hear what comes out of your meeting. Thank you, John. Any questions for John? We'll move on to the...
I did have one. I'm sorry. One other thing I wanted to add, and ties in with the cooperation with the county unincorporated. They're going to be going up in a helicopter and taking high-definition footage. And we have about around $1,500 left, or a little bit more than that, in the PR budget. So I was hoping to appropriate some of that money. I'm going to ask the TBID, the contribution's $2,500 per destination. And what that gives us is 3 flyovers that we can dictate what we want. And it'll be high definition. That for us to go out and do it ourselves would probably cost us, you know, $7,000 or $8,000, maybe more. This way we can get some great footage, be able to put it on our website and use it for a future TV spot too. So I think that's a good example of how this cooperation can work if we all kind of pool our resources.
I had a question just about the referring sites, and I noticed the LA Times thing had fallen off pretty big. Was there an expiration of an ad?
Right, we stopped advertising.
Okay.
And that's about the only, I guess, bad thing about online, is that you don't get a lot of residual. Like when you run an ad in the Sunset magazine, you continue to see the ads, you know, the responses flow in, because people, especially that kind of magazine, people tend to keep them. It's got a shelf life. It's not a lot of shelf life when it comes to online.
I have a question on the listing page views for hotels. Most of them are within 10 to 20 to 30 to 40 views of each other during each month. But, for example, the Back Bay Inn goes from 110 to 101 down to 6. What causes such a radical change in...
And the general events page, which was already... there was already some distinction there, one being that the chamber calendar is listed under the primary chamber events on the far left of the menu, or the far right of the menu item. Obviously, John, you had taken care of the terms, conditions for the getaway or the contests, which is great, because needed that to get done.
took a whole page.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, that's the way it goes. a couple things that we noticed we did get the full 12-month listing, so the items that we had asked to get listed for 12 months out to include a full year have been added. However, we're still looking for getting a more full description and potentially a link embedded within each of those items. And I know that's an issue with some of the event holders and the information that they're supplying. But this may or may not be an appropriate discussion for our combined meeting with TBID, especially with Rick being here. But the we still have it. We're still looking at the possibility of having a form that people could fill out to guarantee that we're getting all that information, just to guarantee, just to make sure that as far as Peter's staff or anybody down at the chamber, they don't have to either be making phone calls or following up. You don't have to be, working on or reviewing whether or not you're getting the required content, before it gets posted to the site. So so that's still something that we would like to see happen. And another issue that came up, which had to do with these are a couple minor things, but the pictures that are running down the side of the left-hand side of the events page, we were wondering if it's possible, rather than having those photos separate from the content, if it were possible to embed them in the description so that they flow together, so that there's a kite with the kite festival, there's a tall ship with the tall ships description, things like that.
Right now, the tall ships is not next to the paragraph where the tall ships come from.
We're just wondering, rather than have them separate, if it would be possible to just embed them right within the description. And then that way, if they move around as things drop off the calendar, then the photos stay with the...
Makes sense.
Yeah.
I could add one thing, too, Daniel, that we talked about the load time. I forgot to mention this, that if you just look recently, what we tried to do is find some sort of compromise with that flash film.
Yeah, we did see that.
So what we did is, and I thought it was a good solution, at least we'll try it and see, is that people now have the option, and I think everybody's pretty familiar with when they see a little arrow, they know to click on it, and if they want to play it, they can play it, but if they don't want to play it, then they don't have to.
Yeah, we did notice that.
Right.
Yeah, the whole page loads much faster.
Yeah,
because I think that was a really good point. I mentioned that we've been struggling with that. Well, it's a really nice piece. Do we want to sacrifice that for load time? And I, at my house, I have super high speed, and it's not a problem. Then in my office, I'm tied in with our Wi-Fi, so it gives me a really good barometer.
Yeah.
And it was painful, with the Wi-Fi. I have to admit it, because it's just, we want to make sure it's right. And I think this option now of having that open like that will probably be at least solve it. And I would imagine that as we approach next year, we're going to want to redesign that opening anyway.
Okay. So a couple other final things. This was brought up regarding the right-hand sidebar that has the Morro Bay logo on it. We were wondering if it's possible, just to help clarify branding, that on the pages that are specific to the chamber itself, if the chamber logo could be there in place of that Morro Bay logo. Just because, right now, it's we talk about keeping clear how we're branding all of these different aspects of what the city's doing, what the chamber's doing, and all that. And right now, as it stands, you have the graphic that sits at the top of the MorroBay.org website. On some pages where Jackrabbit isn't there, you have the chamber logo in place of the Jackrabbit little form there. And then on those same pages, you have the Morro Bay logo that sits on the right at that top or I'm sorry, on the
on most pages, except where there's no jackrabbit, and then the chambers appears.
Right.
So it'd be nice to go back, I think, and give the chamber and the visitor center that little logo on the right-hand side.
Okay.
And then finally, the last thing that we were considering, and again, this is a request, and maybe it's something that's more appropriate for you know, Peter in combination with TBID and with Rick here, but as it stands right now on that event page, which we've been talking so much about the past two meetings, is all of the events have a link to a landing page that's specific to the event. And I think last time we did talk about the possibility of maybe leveraging that and offering to have to give an event holder a landing page if they don't have one. But then what that creates is all of the traffic that hits that event page, if they see an event that they're interested in and they click on it, they're then leaving the site. Obviously, that can't be controlled because you want them to find out as much information about the event as possible. But the other thing that we had considered is if somebody already knows about an event, let's say the car show, and they just wanted to find out the dates and then they want to immediately book a room, we were wondering if it were possible and appropriate to have just a book a room link at the end of every description within that events page. And it would take them immediately to the landing page within the site where they can search for a hotel. So it's just a thought, you know.
And yeah, I think that's a good idea. And I think the other thing that would be really a good kind of a neat involvement or evolution to that would be ideally if you were go on that landing page, say it's like the car show, and then you would have a list of like three or four packages that you could take too.
Yeah.
I think that would be really effective because then somebody that says, okay, well, I want to go to the car show. Oh, here's you know, a lodging package. We don't really have any tickets for the car show, but it would include maybe like a dinner, you know, and I think putting packages for each particular event. I know that's one of the goals we have for next year is try to get more. I know Peter's working on that. That'd be a great place for that because then people would see the event, and then right there would be – and you could also be lodging. I mean, it could just be as simple as, you know, book a room, or there could be, you know, for those who wanted to participate, three or four different packages.
But I think Daniel was speaking of even before you get to the landing page. On our events page, we have Learn More, which takes you to the landing page. And what we wanted to do was add another link next to it, book a room.
So if they read that
paragraph, and they like what they see, they don't even have to go to the landing page.
Right.
They can book a room right from that very event description.
Some of those websites don't have a lodging section, you know.
Right.
And so we thought it would be appropriate to put this book a room so that if you read the description, you liked it, you could go to book a room and land on our lodging page.
Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you have to redo that landing page or their page. We don't have to address their page. We can have them book a room right from our very site.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's a good idea.
Would a pop-up window or something kind of solve redirecting people away from the website? So that if they want to read the more description about the event and the window pops up, they can do that and then just close out that window and then they're still on the...
Well, as it stands right now, when you click on the read more for an event, it does open their site up in another window. But on some browsers, that gets confusing because it will automatically take over your entire screen. And you know, just by nature of how people surf the web nowadays, it's like they get lost pretty quickly and forget about where they were. They don't forget where they were, but they'll forget about it if they have more compelling things in front of them. So,
and that's what happens with like the bounce rate. So if somebody gets on a site and they're trying to find information and they can't find it or they get lost, they just go, I'm out of here. And that's one thing we want to try to avoid too, because it really is. I'm sure we've all experienced it's frustrating if you get into something you can't get back. Then you just go, well, I give up. We don't want him to give up.
So anyway, that concludes some of the things that we were looking at.
Yeah, I think those are all good suggestions.
I can detail this in an email with you. Okay.
Yeah, sure. Go ahead.
I want to add something about Savor the Central Coast. In my 5 years on this group, we've never advertised an event outside of Morro Bay. 3 weeks ago on our calendar, it showed up, Savor the Central Coast. You click on Learn More, it goes immediately to their webpage. If you click on lodging, it lists 15 hotels. Only one is in Morro Bay. I don't know if that's appropriate. It's, to me, it was no different than if we'd advertised the Paso Robles Wine Festival. But I realize we're also involved financially with that. And I wonder if we couldn't take it to our advantage. And a possible way I was looking at it is if you went here with advertising an event outside of the city.
I have to agree. I definitely agree with that.
Well, I think that the difference is that we invested $25,000.
Yeah.
And I think if you're going to spend that kind of money, there needs to be some cross promotion. However, what you said I think makes total sense, that we want to, whatever we want to, we, and we talked about this when we sponsored Savor in relationship to the Harbor Festival, it's that it's incumbent upon us to make it a win-win as opposed to a
when you really think about it, maybe we should advertise the Mid-State Fair on our website. Just to, for instance, and I'm not saying we should, but connect it with, and there's no longer a shuttle service, but connect it to stay in Morro Bay, cool off, eat a dinner here, go back to the hot fair.
Take advantage of,
you know, if we're, you know, take advantage of getting, and it would be great if somehow we could, well, you can buy the discounted tickets in Albert's.
Well,
but I'm not saying we should do that.
Yeah,
it's something we should think about.
Just a potential solution to that on the website would be, rather than try to commingle local events, just have a section on the website that's specific to regional events. You know, that as much as possible call attention to the amenities of Morro Bay and what people can gain from staying here while they're at the Paso Wine Fest or while they're at the Mid-State Fair or at Savor.
Another question, John. Why would only one motel show up in lodging?
I have no idea. I'll have to look at that. It may be something to do with...
You said one Morro Bay hotel?
Well, yeah, but I know that. Why wouldn't Savor, the Central Coast Lodging, where the motel's listed, it's no different than the restaurants. They've had to pay a bronze, a silver, or whatever.
Oh, so only one motel paid.
So of the, I think there's 15 or 20 hotels listed, there's one in Morro Bay. There are no restaurants listed, which means that none of the restaurateurs, people that own the restaurants, they didn't take advantage of advertising.
Well, I don't know if it's take advantage or if they were asked. I don't know how that process took place.
From my perspective on it and looking at it, it looked like it was the folks who paid for some sort of sponsorship.
They have to pay because it says right there, bronze, silver.
So they are levels of sponsorship.
You know, so it is a level and you get whatever you pay for.
Okay.
I will say, though, that I think that we did, I think that's a good suggestion, but as far as the event itself, I think we did a good job of getting Morro Bay represented for the $25,000 because we are going to have this chopped, you know, we have a couple different Morro Bay chefs competing with each other with using local food and our...
We are?
Mm-hmm. And in addition to that, they're working on the booth right now that we're going to be sharing with the County Unincorporated. And the Oyster Tour, I guess, is still in the process of being worked out.
The tour is ongoing, but
as far as it relates to the Savor,
we're working that out. But it looks very good as far as an activity when they come back into Morro Bay from that.
Also, we'll have as part of our negotiation with them to get this level of sponsorship, we're going to have a spread in their program, a two-page spread for Morro Bay. So I think at the event, I think we're sort of covered, but I think it's a good suggestion, Bill, that let's try to figure out how best we can get connected up leading up to that time.
If you go to the event and get a program, it's too late to decide that you're going to go to Morro Bay.
Well, no, but I think what this is I look at this as a way to convince those 5,000 people they need to come back, and when they come back to the Central Coast that they need to include Morro Bay. And also perhaps get them to go down and visit for the day because they may get a bit bored being up in North County for 3 days.
Yeah.
But the idea is to get them – this is a way to advertise to these people that are coming.
If the shuttle bus is going to be worthwhile, then we should certainly try to take advantage of that.
Well, and I think that, you know, it's a little challenging, and I'm not – making excuses, but I'm not in charge of the shuttle bus. So, I mean, it's like, and I don't want to promote it till we have one and it's going to work. So I think that's probably, we need probably another meeting with Sunset Saver and talk to them about all these components and how all those are working.
They have a list of shuttle services, but it just lists the cities and where it stops. And here in Morro Bay, they have it says it's going to stop at the Harbor Festival and it's going to stop at Beach Bungalow. And then it's also, I don't remember where it's going to start or stop in Cambria. So they do have a list, but it doesn't tell you whether it's going to run once a day, twice a day.
Right. And that's probably because they haven't worked that out. Yeah.
Dan looked at their website.
Okay.
Okay. Any other questions for John or for Daniel? We'll move on to the Creative Sub-Review Committee. Did they meet?
We did not meet.
Did not meet. Okay. We're going to move on now to our unfinished business. And under the discussion of our budget subcommittee reports, let's see, how the Committee Promotions Committee can better be informed about events in Morro Bay. That was...
Member, or Chair Kravitz, did you want to skip unfinished business?
Oh, 630-71, 7677, and 78.
On what things did you say you're available?
I'm available 6 and 77. Those are good for me.
And but that would be first thing in the morning?
First thing in the morning.
Like 8 o'clock?
I believe 8 o'clock. That's what we had last time.
I could do
that'd
either one
Rob?
At 8 o'clock.
8 o'clock, 7, 6?
I could do either.
That'd be great.
At 8.
8 o'clock, 7, 6. Is everyone agreeable to that one? That works
sure.
For everyone?
That's fine.
Could you inform Rob that we'll meet at 8 o'clock? That'll guess be at the community center?
Let's say community center, and then we'll confirm that with you prior to the meeting. So that's
okay.
Tuesday, July 6th,
6th.
At 8.
Yes.
Perfect. Thank you.
Okay. So we'll move that unfinished business on to that time. And now we can go on to new business.
Just a quick question,
okay.
Ed. Regarding that, is that going to delay us being able to address the budget subcommittee since we don't have approval on our bylaws?
I don't believe so because the budget itself has been approved.
You can appoint subcommittees throughout the year.
Yeah.
You're fine.
Okay.
But we have a budget subcommittee report which John's going to talk about in a minute, and we've already made the budget. We're going to present that to the committee today.
Our old bylaws says we not spend money outside, or we have to spend our money outside of the county. Is that going to affect it?
Is that something you were looking at amending in your new bylaws?
Yes.
I think you're still fine. We're talking fiscal year starting on...
Yeah, we're not going to spend the money until
June,
after it's approved.
July 1.
Fiscal year doesn't start yet.
Yeah, this is a proposed budget, and we won't be spending the money outside the county until this is approved.
I think you're fine.
Okay,
but we definitely
thanks.
Want to get this done.
Yes, we do. Okay. Now we can move on to the new business, I guess, which is a discussion on how the Community Promotions Committee can better be informed about events in Morro Bay.
This is an idea we've been kicking around amongst gallery owners, something of our Carol. With the different events that are going on in town, well, and on Main Street, with the art galleries and with live music and things, I think one of the things that would really help people promote it better, I know for myself, you know, on our computer, we have our set contact list for PR releases, and set information that goes to everyone. I think if we could provide some kind of package to local businesses, at least in the arts community where people are going to be doing anything with live music, arts, any other activities, if we had a package we could send to people that was, here's the information we need, here's the contacts this needs to be sent to, you know, like our local newspapers, radios, who at which place, blah, blah, blah. Here's what they need, because some of them have different requirements as far as photos and artwork and things they want with it. Here's the release date that you need. Here, you know, the runtime they need. Some need 2 weeks, some want longer. And have us and the Chamber of Commerce on that list. So the same information is going out in the same format to all of the media releases as or contacts, as well as the Promotions Committee and Peter.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if we had someone to set back, I mean, it's not hard to put it together. I have one I use for my business. I could go over it with Peter and see how we can expand that.
I think it's a great idea. Most event coordinators, most publicists, John is in that business, does that as a matter of course,
yeah.
Does that as a matter
yeah,
of fact.
Yes. I bet you have a great...
Andrea, we were wondering at one point whether or not it was possible when someone goes to the city and applies for an event, any kind of event to take place in the city, where a permit is necessary, that somehow we be advised, or we get any list of that at the end of the month or the beginning of the when that happens. So we would know that, yeah, that in October somebody's taken out a permit to have a contest.
What? I spoke
or an
with,
event.
Well, could we give that person that package?
Or put something in their package that when they go to the counter to get that, they get a package, which that's included.
And I think that's what came up. I think Daniel's going to say this, but we talked a little bit about that last time, and mm-hmm. that seems to me to – I would love to commit the staff to contact and to follow through, but I'm concerned about that based on everything else that's going on. But if we attached to our public area use permits and our facility use permits a form, to encourage that person to do that, that might work. That would probably work very
because
well.
Because that burden should fall on the person having the event, not the city staff.
Maybe the promotions committee could come up with that form.
That's what I'm thinking. Yeah,
a separate form, so you wouldn't have to change any of the city forms, and then it would just be a matter of a piece of paper added to your packet or your application.
Yeah, I think the form could be really something to the effect of want some help promoting your event.
Right.
You know, here, fill out these these details, and they can email it to me if they want, or Peter.
I spoke to Joe Woods the other day, and he. He basically said that that would not be a problem for him to include either something within the actual language
form for our next meeting.
We can do that.
And we could put that on the agenda for our next meeting. Does the committee understand what we need?
Yes.
Okay.
And now, what about Susan's request for the business permits?
I'm the other
it?
Susan.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Tracy.
I'm sorry.
That would accomplish what you want.
If we have an initial flyer saying, do you want help promoting your event? Here's the step you need to take. Then we can have a place they can go to get that. So that we're not wasting the time and money printing this up and giving it to everybody. Make it available to them and let them know where to come get it. But if we have it set up for them where they can take advantage of it, that'll also be something we can offer to businesses. Because in the arts community, we have a really strong arts community here with so many events going on that people don't know about. And tourists come in. I hear this constantly. They come in the gallery and say, wow, you guys have Art Walk every month? You have this going on? We have this list of openings and all this stuff. But it doesn't get – and this is on the fault of the business owners and the people doing the activities. They're not promoting it enough.
Okay, my idea would be, Tracy, that we not only make enough copies to go with the applications, but we could also have separate copies for the businesses to give them also. So it would be the same application.
We could give them the same flyer.
The same flyer. That's what I'm talking about. Same exact flyer.
And then have it available like on Peter's website where they can go and print it out and fill it out. Because I think part of it is just knowing where to send the stuff and how far ahead of time.
Well, I think the first step is to get the flyer designed, get the questionnaire made so the subcommittee can do that for our next meeting. That would help a lot. Okay?
Yeah.
And if I could just add one thing, I think that it's interesting, and Rick would attest to this, that when you look at like web stats, a lot of times you'll see where San Luis Obispo, you know, the city or the county might be one of the principal places that is coming to the website. The reason being, granted, they may not be coming to spend the night, but they're coming. They're going to the website to find out about events. Mm-hmm. So, you know, as much as we can do to have more information about events, I mean, people in the county are looking to go to different places. They have people come in that are staying, that are are tourists, and I think that's. Would be really important to do that.
Okay, we'll talk about that at the next meeting. And now we have some very, very good news, and John's going to talk about our budget.
Do we have one yet?
Yes, we do.
Budget and good news generally don't go together.
Andrea told me that we now have $1 million to spend. She just whispered it to me.
Looking for a new position.
Did you guarantee the million?
And that's Andrea.
No, I think though that the good thing is that the city is going through a lot of challenges, and we do have at least I don't think the budget's been totally adopted yet. Has it? Oh, it has. So we do have some funds to work with, and we had a real good budget subcommittee meeting. And for those who are sort of new to the board, kind of the way we've approached this in the past is that we look at particular categories and then work the details. Once I know that this is the areas that we want to spend the dollars in, then getting down to like when the actual insertions will occur. I mean, you see some notation of that, but how we like work within these different campaigns and what I negotiate with, say, like the LA Times and such. But so one of the things that we've talked about collectively as a board, which also includes the revision of the bylaws, is that we're going to be a little bit more local oriented, trying to assist on promotion of events and picking up where the BID is particularly involved in lodging, where we're going to be aiding the activities, businesses, restaurants, art, the experience that people want to come to Morro Bay for, and aiding the tourists, but also letting our residents know, our tourists, that how important tourism is to the city. So basically, the three print publications, and it's much, much more limited than we have had in the past, but there are some core magazines that I think would be beneficial. Bakersfield Life was one that's actually inserted in the Californian once a month, and it's a lifestyle publication. But the nice thing about that is that it gives us the opportunity to promote events and let people know over in the valley what's going on. And I think Peter will attest that, I know he'll call me and say, did you run an ad? Because he'll start getting phone calls and people inquiring about particular events. And so, you know, these would be for the photo festival, for our larger events that we would always have two or three events within those ads. And then Sunset Magazine, this really helps to balance and support the BID's efforts in running in Sunset as well. We found that it's a very good publication for us because it does represent a drive market. This would incorporate not only Southern California but Northern California, so it's a Northern California outreach as well. And then Travel 50 and Beyond, again, this really represents about one ad out of the four ads that we would run, but it's a supporting of the BID and their efforts to bring in that type of clientele. It's one of our few national magazines. But then as we get into website advertising or basic, so we've talked about the need of not having as strong a need as far as redesigning the whole site, but we want to keep it current. We want to keep making changes to it and improvements, and that money will be provided for that. And then in the area of social media, which really is kind of a broad base, we're working with Peter's group to enhance Facebook and do a little bit more with that. Also, social media involves YouTube videos, things like that. I mean, I think I've said this before, but and Rick will attest to this, the second most used search engine next to Google is YouTube. So placing videos, and again, this again talks about the support of events, even if it's after the fact, of when we have an event, to film that event and put it on YouTube and let people know, and then as that event approaches the following year, we have footage for it, and we have been doing that. And then running on, again, this was a change we made from Bakersfield, to run on a TV station, not running 30-second spots on the TV station, but running on their website. And if you go on, like, the Fresno, one of the Fresno TV stations, what we would predominantly do is look at the weather page, because a lot of people, when they go to that, they're not just looking at Fresno's weather, they're looking at the Central Coast weather in Morro Bay. And Fresno recognizes that some people care more about the weather here than they do there, because they sort of know what's going to be happening in the summertime. Public relations, again, this is a category where we, again, can help on promoting these events. I think that one of the things that we're talking about doing is putting in some travel writers this next year as well, more on niche travel, such as kayaking, some of the things that we have that are unique to our destination. And then event advertising, the fire sale category, which basically you're all familiar with, is sort of a contingency fund. If we get a call from somebody who their ad fell out, say Sunset Magazine, and they had San Diego in, and they weren't able to get their creative together, whatever happened, sometimes we can get those ads for as much as half off. And then we've talked about our tourism local community awareness program. And really what the thought was there is to go to the Bay News and that group and really try to work out a deal with them where they become sort of a co-sponsor in this effort and give us some advertorial along with running advertising. So that's what that would be the main focus of that. And then also we have our online newsletters that we could be able to use as well for that. And then the local outreach, just kind of a buy local campaign. We talked about the promotion possibly of working with that video that I think many of you saw that I had emailed out about buying local, and it focused on the businesses and the merchants, sort of a welcoming video. I think that would be something that we could look at for that category. And then Arden Production really is to facilitate all the design of the ads, the any collateral artwork on the website as well. Collateral, the BID is talking about investing in a visitor's guide that's fairly significant. This would just be a little bit of support money for that. I mean, this probably will cost upwards of $20,000, and they would take most of that. But I think what having some support in it will assure us to, again, make sure that the activities, events, and businesses are all included as well, because this would be an all-inclusive guide. And then looking at running on KERO, which is the Bakersfield affiliate for some network television, just to support. And again, we'd be sponsoring the weather on the television. And we've got a lot of value added from that station. They've been pretty good to Morro Bay, and we would think that they would continue to do that. So kind of gives you an overview of what we'd be looking at for next year. It does coincide with what the BID, and they're going to be looking at their budget, so I made sure that, just as I did last year, that we didn't duplicate efforts, that we supported efforts. I think, though, however, I would say this budget's much more different than what we had last year, because last year, really, our budget, as you all recall, was really to support the BID and get them going and take up the slack of them not being able to really start till December. So our budget was front-loaded to cover that, and this budget really is designed more toward kind of the whole repositioning of the promotions committee, which is local outreach, support of businesses, restaurants, activities, those other things besides lodging that people come to Morro Bay for. And I feel like that with this type of distribution of funds that we'll be able to achieve that.
I've got a question for you on this. Now, the advertising that we were doing in San Jose, that was the Mercury, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Where does the Bay Area fall into this?
Well, again, the BID, we have quite a bit of effort up there.
Oh,
and
good.
So that would be where we would be covering that. In fact, the BID, the budget subcommittee, recently wanted to put more money toward San Jose. Also just coming out of this campaign and seeing that it was successful was also that. So there's a lot of holes here, but they're filled. Look at insertions now for August and September.
Yeah, if you don't have any other questions for John.
I have
okay,
a couple questions. So regarding the website maintenance, one of the things that I was a little concerned about, as I just learned this past week, is that we don't necessarily have a contract or a maintenance agreement per se for the actual work, you know, what defines the parameters for what is considered website maintenance. And I inquired about this through the chamber, and they referred me to John, and he said that we don't necessarily have anything per se that defines those parameters. So one of my concerns is that this $9,000 that we're appropriating, how do we know when we've exhausted that? Like, if we don't know how many hours we can anticipate getting for the requests that we're making. So, for instance, in my mind, I would think, okay, if this month we're using 60 hours, let's say, to produce a form or to produce some of the things we talked about regarding links, cross-links from, you know, a saver event. Okay, so whatever is actually getting used, how do we know what's left in our budget for that?
Well, I think that the part of the reason is that up to this point, and actually it's still true, where the city council has basically said, we want you to spend $18,000 on the website. I mean, it was a mandate. Now it's $9,000. So that is a change, but that was actually mandated by the city council. And the reason being, and it's some of the council members that decided that are not even on the council anymore, but at the time, I think we did such a good job of telling them how important the website was at a presentation. They said, well, then we want to make sure you spend the money on it. And I don't know whether that was really necessary, because I think the committee would have spent the money on what was necessary. But they felt that, so that's their call. It's really hard to set parameters for how many hours per month because it's all evolving. The recommendations that you gave to us will require time, and time is money. And as far as how we know when we're going to go under or over budget, I just keep track of that and know. But also we have the BID who comes in and helps to fund that as well. So there's two groups of funding that comes for the website. And there are times when if something's really significant that's going to require us to go over budget, then I would come to the committee and say, I think that this is a great idea, but we're going to need to move some money into that category to be able to achieve that. But I'm happy to come up with more of a detailed plan. I think we talked about this with the BID as well, as far as how we would utilize those funds, because a lot of it goes toward paying Rick to prepare the reports and do all the tracking, and that in its sense is sort of a web maintenance program in that we keep track of that. But we can work out the details of that.
Okay, so that I guess I don't know how other folks feel about it, but I personally would like to see something that more clearly defines the parameters around what is what kind of requests we can make with certainty that they're going to get fulfilled because they're included as part of a website maintenance portion.
Well, and I think part of it is too, and it's a little bit of a challenge because the distinction between the chamber and what we do, and because Peter is involved in working on the chamber part, but yet there are times that he might need to call on us for something that's technical that we need our help on. So it's real hard to put together a really fine, detailed hour-by-hour plan because it sort of evolves as we go along. But I guess the main thing is that the contract says that our agency is in charge of maintaining and designing the website. And in that sense, that's where the contract lies. It is included in our contract, but it's not specified by how many hours.
Yeah.
And we also have an hourly fee that we charge of $70 an hour, and that's clearly stated in the contract as well.
And just to be clear, the only reason that this came up was because, we were talking about, different potential things to be done on the website and wondering, okay, well, is this a reasonable request, basically?
I think that a part of it is, too, and this is one reason why we have the different categories like social media. I mean, I would consider some of the things that we would do on the website could go into that social media category as well. So if we're doing videos and we're placing them on the website, I wouldn't have a problem taking it out of those funds as well. And so that's why you have sort of these categories so it can be moved around and adjusted as the year goes, because it's really hard to determine what the needs are going to be. And it's even harder now because now we have a whole other body that has requests. And
might be right about
so be
that.
Careful what you ask for.
Yeah. Yeah. If there's no other discussion on the budget, I would like to get a motion to approve it so John can go ahead with the media plan. Do I have a motion to approve our budget as submitted?
Motion to approve.
Second.
Okay, I have a motion to approve and a second. Is there any further discussion on the motion? All those in favor of the budget being passed?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, John, you have
great.
Your budget.
I have Rick here. I was going to ask Rick that question that you had about Susan that you had. Rick, you guys all know Rick Turton.
Mm-hmm.
He works with our firm on doing the website. There was one hotel that had like 100, I'm just going to paraphrase, but had like 120, and then it went down to 6. And I was saying that it's probably likely that their website went down or something happened.
Was it?
Which one was it, Susan? Do you?
Okay, let me take a look at
it. 101 in April to 6 in May. Just seemed kind of drastic.
Yeah, it does seem kind of weird. Could be user input on my part that I had happy fingers and it was 106 or something, or there could be what John was saying. I would have to go check that. I've just circled it. But, yeah, that does look like an anomaly.
Well, can I answer that?
Mm-hmm.
Back Bay Inn, isn't that the one that's in Los Osos who's been dropped off our webpage?
It would still be on the chamber section, though.
No, it would be listed under Cayucas. Cayucas and Los Osos.
That's a good point, Bill. Yeah, I might check on that, too, if that's been dropped off of the lodging listings.
As far as I believe it has.
Because all I check is the Morro Bay lodging listings. Right. I don't check the other
back,
things. So if it's
the Back
moved,
Bay Inn is in Los Osos.
Yeah.
And it was on our website until whenever it was dropped.
Actually, that may be the
I think that's the reason why it's gone.
I'll asterisk that then, Bill, and I'll check
because
that
the BID
out.
Felt like that it shouldn't be listed if it's, they're not paying.
Yeah,
that could have been a move that I was unaware of. I'm just looking at the data, definite database, and I'm just saying, sure. Back Bay Inn, boom. You know,
no, I think
that's a good point.
I think you're right.
I also had a question there because there's a hotel right across the street from it, from the Back Bay Inn, and it's the Baywood Inn, and they're not listed here either.
But they're in
I know, but they're just.
Is that in Los Osos?
Yes, it is. So I'm just curious as to why one would be there and one wouldn't. That's really.
So all I do is, like I said, I go through the database, you know, and I'm in the back end. I'm not looking at the front end. I build the original list off of the lodging listings on morrobay.org, and then I just leave that and go to the.
So they're just not listing
you're
there.
You're talking
then.
About what's your hotel?
Well, there's two hotels in Baywood, and one's the Back Bay Inn, and one's the Baywood Inn. They're directly across the street from each other. I'm just curious why.
What's the name of that again?
Well, but one is the Back.
Never been on our list.
Yeah, I'm just curious though as to why one would be there.
The Chamber of Commerce.
That would be it.
Okay.
Okay. So this is the chamber listing.
In fact, I know which one you mean. They were. I don't want to say what I.
Okay. We'll talk about that.
Remember, you're on TV.
I'm not sure I really want to know that.
Liz, what I did for you guys was I actually went out because I knew I was going to come in front of you, which is not necessarily lodging, it's everybody,
right,
and printed out the entire database of May for the listing views and the click-throughs. And the back end, this has got, you know, where the site was bid, it's got only 33 lodging things. This one is the total, Peter's thing, is 214 listings. Okay. So in there, the Back Bay Inn is listed, and it got 6 views in the month of May of their listing on the Los Osos side.
Mm-hmm. But there's the question comes with the other hotel, the Baywood Inn, which is directly across the street. But I'm just the question really is why would one be there and one wouldn't? Either they're not listing or they're not members of the chamber.
The Baywood Inn is
not listed
on this master list.
So right.
If it's not listed on the master list, they're invisible until somebody flips the switch or says something.
Okay. So they're not following through that.
Interesting enough, too, the L bid, the 33 lodging sites, had 5,334 views of their listings, but the total listings was 10,648. So non-lodging member listings got viewed over 5,000 times in the month. So that's, you know, so in other words, if I come over there and I go to Kayak Rentals and I look at that and I say, they might have a website, they might not, but I can sure call the Kayak Rentals because my phone number is right in front of me, which is a huge more contact thing like you would do because a lot of these listings don't have websites, so there's no click-throughs.
Right, I understand.
The majority of the click-throughs were on the lodging. So anyway, that's what I wanted to give to you guys because you guys are big picture where bid is small picture. So they're still getting 5,000.
Okay, thanks, Rick. Any other questions? We have to move on because we have a meeting coming up at 9:30 with the BID. Do we have any brief discussion of new ideas? Anybody have some new ideas?
I think.
We're looking at morrobay.org, the activities section.